Wow, welcome to very warm Grimsby, eh? My goodness, what a great night. Thank you for leading us in worship. That was wonderful. Great facility as well. Just a beautiful, stunning building. And Cody and I are very honored and privileged to be with you tonight. This is my only begotten son, Cody Josiah White. And most of you know we've got two girls. And Chris, my amazing wife, sends her love and greetings to everyone. And she always wishes she could be with me. But somebody had to hold the fort while I gallivanted around the world. And so Cody came to be with me. Some of you would or would not know that it's been a long time since Cody's been back here. We lived in England for 2 years, in 2003 and 2004. And then he came back a couple of times, maybe in 05 or 06, but it's been about 10 years since Cody's been back to the north of England. He's been on the south coast a couple of times, but it's been a decade or so. So he was much smaller. He was probably about 11, now he's 21. He's playing American football, which I know is not nearly as good a sport as rugby, according to the English. But he was playing American football at university. Actually, at Assemblies of God University, called Southwestern Assemblies of God University, or SAGU, they call it for short. And he got recruited to play football there and was loving it. He was doing that for 2 years. And last year when Chris and I were in Namibia, he Skyped us and said, I believe the Lord's calling me into vocational ministry and to quit playing football. And so he did that, and he took classes online last semester, which he's doing again this year. And he's begun to travel with me full-time and work some at our church, helping with our youth and young adults and all that sort of thing. So it's great to have him traveling with me. We are getting to have a lot of fun together. Well, most of you would know that in 1999, the Lord gave me a word for the year 2000, which is the first year I came to England. I visited England on my way to other countries, but the first time that I had come to England just specifically to be here was January 2000. And then just before that, the Lord gave me a prophetic word. He said to go to the UK in the first week of January, and then he gave me a prophetic word for that entire year. That began to shape the course of 2000, which became a very transitional year for my wife and I, where we launched out from being in a local church leadership and traveling itinerantly around to cities, churches, nations, etc., as Dave said. And that's when Beyond These Shores was birthed. And then out of that, every year, at the end of the year, we've gone away and prayed, and God's given us a word for that next year. And for about the last 12 or 15 years, I've come to England. Well, actually, I guess ever since 2001. I think the first time I came to Grimsby was 2001. And my life's message was birthed in Grimsby on about a Thursday night, I think, on my way to Nairobi, Kenya. God just did some stuff that really changed the course of my life. But we've come back and not only come here many of those years, but traveled around the UK and other places delivering what we believe is a prophetic word for the year. So tonight I want to unpack some of that. My disclaimer is, this is not everything God is saying. It's something that God is saying. It is a thing he's saying. But I believe that truth is a seed, and it was designed to be relationally deposited, not artificially inseminated. So I believe that when we're in relationship, and some of you say, well, I don't even know you. Well, because you know David, and David and I are in a relationship, then I believe there's a relational context here where truth can be deposited. So I want to encourage you, and I'm only saying this for those that haven't been around, to just hear the voice within the voice. If you've not seen me do this before, like I said, I don't want to overplay what it is, but I do just believe that the Lord has put something in my heart year after year. And so I want to deliver that to you tonight. But hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to you within that. Last year, as we went away, now we're going to just do it on our own. We take our leadership team with us, and we pray together for 2 or 3 days. As we did that, the Lord began to give Chris and I, actually before we went away, both of us a similar word, and this isn't the only word, but I'm going to unpack a few words and then tell you what I think God is really saying about that for this year. The first thing he said is 2016 is a year to resound. Resound. R-E-S-O-U-N-D. Let me give you a couple of definitions of resound. First of all, resound is to sing the praises of. But it's more than singing a song. It's living a life that makes music. You know, our life makes a sound. We don't just sing songs on a Sunday morning or like us singing before we started. I started preaching tonight. It's the songs that our lives are designed to sing are much more than just on a Sunday morning. It's Monday through Saturday. It's at work on Monday morning when I love my neighbor, when I love that work colleague that's not very lovable. That is singing his praises. When I forgive people who my mind says I shouldn't forgive, that is resounding. That is singing a song. My actions, my attitudes, my words, my deeds all can resound in the earth. The second definition of resound is to fill a place with sound. We bought this building that, and I just want to thank you guys for years you prayed for us and sown into us and helped us. And Dave and Anne-Marie, all the Joneses, you know, we just adopted them and they've come and helped us. They were there in the very beginning. And then, ironically, Pete and Alex think they're going on holiday for me, but God and us had another plan. They came over to see their friends, not knowing we'd have a building when they came. And we put them to work. We worked them from daylight till dark every day on their holiday. But God will repay them, I'm sure. Because we didn't pay them anything. We fed them well. Fed them some steak, I think, you know, good old Texas steak. But this building that we bought, just a little bit of the story, because you journeyed with us, I thought you might be interested in it. For 8 years, we set up and tore down every Sunday. 415 times, but who's counting? We were. And we had a building for 4 hours on a Sunday, and we paid anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 a month for rented facilities. That's a lot of money for a new church. And we started having to do that from day one. And we it took, you know, 98 volunteers, I think, just to do church on a Sunday morning. And we would try to get a building and couldn't get one, couldn't get them. And we'd put in bids and they didn't happen. And one thing after another. And we thought we got property and then we didn't get property. And all kinds of crazy stuff happened. And the last one was very disappointing. So much so that I was ready to kind of just say, are we ever going to get a building? This seems like an eternity. But last year when I was here, I think I made the announcement, this thing had just opened up for us. I left to go home, and after I got home, I was doing two things. I was burying my father while I was negotiating to buy this building. It's kind of the best of times and worst of times. But in 10 weeks, we raised about $200,000, because we had $100,000 already, $300,000 US as a deposit to buy this facility, and it's a beautiful facility. Now, by English standards, this is a brand new place, because, you know, the church only went back to 1872. So for y'all, that was yesterday. You know, that's a new church. That's a new church. But in America, 1872 is a long time. That's most of our history. Well over half our nation's history. And so this church had begun in 1872, but they had moved onto this property in 1917. And the land was deeded that on Boxing Day, 1916, and they had the first worship service in January 1917. So next year will be 100 years that they had worship on this property. They had four buildings. The first one, and they had moved. They built another building and another building. It's on about 5.5 acres. Then they moved one of the buildings over, and in 2001, they built this gorgeous facility. 37-foot cathedral ceilings, two stories. It's just an amazing, amazing facility. But they had had four church splits in 11 years, and they were down to 23 people. And so when I was here, I just met and talked to the pastor, and we stumbled into the deal, which was a whole other story. But we some of you may remember telling a little bit about that. But they didn't want to sell the building, but they couldn't keep it. They were going to lose it no matter what. So after 100 years, they were fixing to lose the whole thing. And God just intervened and brought us in there. But here's my point about resounding. That church had been filled with the sound of division. It had been filled with the sound of disunity. As a matter of fact, on our first Sunday, there was a young lady that came that had been asked to leave that church because she started dating a black man. And she was not allowed back in. She went on our website and came that first Sunday because she said, "I saw you have black people in your church, and I thought it would be okay." She said, "I grew up here. I love this building." But she said, "I just couldn't come back because I was asked not to come back." He would come for 9 months, but the first Sunday in January of this year, he came and gave his heart to Jesus after 9 months. Why? Because we filled that house with a different sound. Instead of a sound of division, we filled it with a sound of unity. Instead of a sound of bitterness, we filled it with a sound of love. Instead of a sound of racism, we filled it with a sound of acceptance and grace. Instead of a sound of legalism and religion, we filled it with a sound of freedom. That church has never heard the sounds we brought into it. But one thing we realized was that even within that building, there had been the wrong sound. So we started having prayer meetings and worship events, and we started praising God as much as we could. But we had filled the auditorium and the atmosphere of the auditorium. When you guys come back, you remember it was very clinical, and it was like a holiday home because nobody was ever in it. You know, they literally would not meet in the main building because they didn't want to heat it. So they met over in the fellowship hall because they didn't want to have to turn the heat or the air conditioning on. And so we filled that space, but the rest of it hadn't been filled. And we just had a conference, and all of our techie guys had the idea to run speakers all throughout the building so we could play praise and worship when people walked in. And I'll never forget, I opened the door, and I walked in, and I could hear the hall filled with worship. And I began to weep because the atmosphere was different. See, sound changes atmospheres. So what sound are you making? Are you making a sound of faith? Are you making a sound of fear? Are you making a sound of joy? Are you making a sound of depression? See, I believe there's a sound that attracts heaven. There's a sound that actually attracts heaven to earth, but there's also a sound that attracts hell, if you will. The demonic, or all that hell represents. I believe God's wanting to fill our world, fill our space. Could it be there's spaces in your mind that need a new sound? Could it be that 2016 there's places in your heart that you need to fill with a different sound? Maybe you fill the auditorium of your life, but maybe there's toilets and hallways and classrooms and different places that need a new sound. The third definition, which I love for resound, is to be loud enough to echo. I believe God wants us to live life loud. I don't believe He wants to be quiet. I know some of you are saying, "Well, that's because you're Texan and I'm English. You're loud. I'm not." I'm not talking about loud mouth. I'm talking about loud forget which movie it was. I think it was Gladiator that they said that the things that we do today will echo in eternity. What if we live lives that echo through eternity? See, I've heard it said, I'd rather be a voice than an echo, but here's what I've come to realize, that when I echo the sound of heaven, I become a voice to a generation. But when I echo or make my own voice, when I echo the sound of the enemy, if you will, the sound of the devil, if you will, when I do that, I'm just being a parrot. But when I re-sound, when I make again the sound of heaven, reverberates. Sounds change things. We could have that gentleman come back and he hit a C major and just played it for a moment. It would just make a beautiful sound. But if he started playing minor chords and minor notes, it would make a kind of a creepy sound. Why? Because sounds shift atmosphere. I want to change atmospheres by resounding heaven. I want to say what heaven is saying. I want to echo the sound of heaven. I want to live a resounding life. I want to give in a resounding way. I want to love in a way that resounds through the earth. I want to forgive in a way that resounds everywhere I go. So we meditated on that. The Lord gave me a second word. The second word he gave me was not a word we probably use every day, but it's an old English word, and that is redound. Redound. You haven't probably talked about redounding a lot today. But immediately, the scripture that came to my mind was 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, where it says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." What does the word redound mean? It means to contribute to either positively or negatively. So when the sound that comes out of our life will either contribute positively or negatively to our lives. Paul in 2 Corinthians, he started there saying we have this treasure in earth and vessels of jars of clay, that the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. We're pressed on every side, we're persecuted, but not abandoned, we're struck down, but not destroyed, pressed, but not crushed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And we, having the same spirit of faith as David had, we believe, therefore we speak. And he said, what is bringing death to me is bringing life to you. So in other words, when he says all of these things, in verse 15, when he says, for all of these things are for your sake, all of this pressing, all of this crushing, all of this adversity, everything I've been through has been causing a grace to come on me. And that when you see the grace in my life, then Paul's talking, then he says, you have a faith to believe God and to speak, what is that, resound, make a sound of heaven, and then a grace comes on you, and it says, and it brings thanksgiving to many. So then you see the grace on his life, and you get a faith that if he can go through that and God can deliver him, then he can do it for you. And you get a grace. And then you see the grace on his life and you start thanking God. And then you get a grace. 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 And so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. Until many people are giving thanks and it redounds or contributes to the manifest presence of God in the earth. In other words, there starts being enough people that are resounding that it contributes to the glory of God redounding or being made manifest in the earth. I believe that when you resound And all of a sudden, everything you're going through contributes to the glory of God manifesting in your life. And as you begin to make the sound heaven makes, it affects your destiny. A synonym for this word redound is a word that we would be a little more familiar with, and that's the word rebound. So not only does redound mean to contribute to, but it means to come back on. So, as I was praying, the Lord said, Dwayne, 2016 is going to be a rebound year. So if you have been knocked down, this is your year to come back. If 2015 was a difficult year, I believe God's saying 2016 is your comeback year. The Apostle Paul had many comebacks. He's saying, I've had all of these things. I've been shipwrecked, snake bit, knocked in the head, left for dead. But he said, I always come back stronger. And what the enemy meant to kill me, God used to deliver me. And you. And I believe there's a rebounding. Another thing about rebounding is the Lord said it this way, when your life resounds, when you make the sound of heaven, it comes back on you. So when your praise goes up, glory comes down. When your generosity goes out, harvest comes back. When grace goes from you, grace rebounds on you. And then this is a year for the seeds you sow in the past to come back and hit you right in the face. Some of you are going, oh me. I mean that in a good way. There's a lot of faithful people in this room. Some of you have been faithful over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And God sent me here to give you a faith that in 2016, it's going to rubber band right back on you. It's going to hit you right in the head. In a good way. Rebound. Rebound. I believe 2016 is the year of the big comeback. You know, if you resound and it begins to contribute or rebound, praise and glory rebounds, all of this works something in you. And the fourth word God gave me was it's all really for His renown. R-E-N-O-W-N-E-D. Psalms 135, 13 says, Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. The definition for the word renown is known or talked about by many, celebrated or famous. Simply put, and I say it all the time, but God put us in the earth to make Him famous. And I believe that this is a year for His fame to spread throughout the atmosphere. I believe this is a year for His renown to be known to our generation. And as we live life loud, and we begin to make a new sound, and we begin to stand up and say, I don't care what I've been through, God is good. You know my theology. It's Neanderthal. You remember? God, good. Dead. Bad. Up. Come on, say it with me. God. Good. Dead. Bad. Up. I know that's hard for you to do. Because you're very English. But it's fun. I believe as we begin to lift up a good God in the earth. Make His praise known. Like never before. Like we've never done it before. His name will get famous. Like never before. You might have noticed that there were a lot of common thread, or there was a common thread to all these words. As we kept praying and dialoguing and meditating on what God was saying for this year, more words began to come, like restore, redeem, refresh, renew, resource, replenish, replan, respond, rejuvenate, refine, rekindle, revive, repurpose, recreate, repurpose. You get the idea, right? And then the Lord spoke very clearly and said, Dwayne, 2016 is the year of the re. R-E. Re. 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 Anybody ever play Scrabble back in the day? Mm-hmm. Scrabble players? All right, a few of you. Now then, words with friends. Come on, young people, any words with friends? Or maybe older people play words with friends too. I don't know. My mother does. She's about 77. She can't do much on her phone, but she plays words with friends. Anyway, she loves it. In Scrabble words with friends, you always want an X. Because even if you're not good at making words, if somebody else makes a great word, you put an S on it and you beat them. Right? Especially if it's a double or triple word score and the triple word goes on the S. That's addition. How many of you like addition? But see, there's something better than S in Scrabble and Words with Friends. It's R-E. Because R-E not only gets you all of theirs plus one, it gets all of theirs plus two. It's not just addition, it's multiplication. Especially if it's a double or triple word score. When I was praying over this, the Lord was just, you know, he talks to me and he's like Scrabble and Words with Friends. I'm a very simple guy. And so I'm praying over all this and he said, Dwayne, 2016 is a leap year. What happens in leap year? You've been behind and all of a sudden you catch up and you get ahead and you make up for all the lost time that's happened over the last several years. But he said this, he said, Dwayne, there are people who have been behind. They feel like they've been playing the enemy, and he just keeps hitting them with words that they can't deal with. And they just feel like they've got nothing in their hand to play anymore. But if they'll just realize they have an R-E. And when they play their R-E in 2016, it's going to go, and they're going to leap over the enemy. This is a leap year. Not only naturally, but spiritually. Re simply means again. Again. Or, for our purposes, do it again. Or do it again and again and again. So simply put, I've been talking to you for 30 minutes to say this. In 2016, God wants to do it again. See, in 2015, he gave us a building. We had a miracle financially. I'm believing for another miracle this year. Because if God did it one time, he can do it
again.
We've had lots of people saved, never been to church in their life. Last year, we had more people born again and baptized in 1 year than all the history of our church put together. But this year, I'm believing for not addition, but I'm believing for multiplication. Because if he did it before, he can do it
again.
I've seen people healed. Anybody ever seen anybody healed? Come on, if you've ever seen anybody healed, raise your hand. Anybody ever been healed, physically healed? Raise your hand. Lots of people all over this room. Guess what? If God did it once, he can do it
again.
You get it. He can do it again. 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 Re is the nature of God. See, God doesn't need re. We do. God doesn't need resourcing. He is the source. Come on, are you here? He doesn't need reviving. He is life. But he is the source, and then he gives us resources. And then more than that, he makes us a resource. We're never the source. We're just the replica. He is life. He doesn't need to come back to life. He is life, but he revives us. He doesn't need to get fresh again. God's always fresh. But he refreshes us. God doesn't need to get new again, because God's new. His mercies are new every morning. God is new and old all at the same time. But he renews us. See, there's a hermeneutical law that if you want to see the essence of something in Scripture, go back to the beginnings. So if you go back to Genesis, what happened? There's chaos, and God sounded. He made a sound. And when he was loud enough to echo. He resounded. Let there be light. And he took chaos and brought it into order. And from that time until this, he's been working towards the restoration of all things. Now we think life starts with perfection and then tends towards chaos. We call it entropy. But really, God starts with chaos and then he works it. He redeems it. He restores it. He renews it. And then he brings... See, you started a mess, and then God redeemed you, and he restored you, and he rebirthed you, and he made you new again. And he'll make you new again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And as long as you keep serving him, guess what? You're becoming a better version of you than you were yesterday. Some of you go, no, I'm not. Well, you should be. From glory to glory, from faith to faith. And he does it again. And again, and again, and again, and again. Read. Can you guys just come about to land this plane? Another great read word is the word remember. 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 In Hebrew, it's Zakar. Z-A-K-A-R. Zakar. It doesn't mean to recall. It means to keep continually on your mind. So this word is used more in Exodus than probably any other book. The Old Testament. Why? Because Exodus is about remembering. Many times when he would tell them to remember, he would also tell them to make a memorial. Why? Something that always reminds you of what God did. But now watch this. Watch this. He doesn't want us to remember what he did so that we get nostalgic. He wants us to remember what he did, but then he wants us to forget how he did it. Because when he remembers, he does it new again. Remember in Isaiah, he said, remember when the horse and rider was thrown into the sea? Remember when I delivered you from Egypt? Then he said, forget the former things. He's got schizophrenia. Remember, 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 not forget all that. Because he said, behold, I do a new thing. Why do you do that? He said, remember what I did, but forget how I did it. Because if you try to make me do it the same way, so what I'm saying again and again and again and again and again and again and again, I'm not saying let's go back to 1995 when we had the glory like we've never had it before. 75, or 65, or 85, or 2005, or 2015. All that's over. I only remember that he did a miracle, and then I believe him to do a new one, in a new way, in a new day, however he wants to do it, because he's God. Come on, are you here? So when I remember the past, I'm also knowing that he's probably not going to do it the same way, but he's still the same God. See, God didn't want him to remember Egypt, to go back to Egypt and get delivered again. That's called the wilderness. He wanted them to remember Egypt so that they could have a faith to move into a promise. And I just sense, David, that God wants this church to, wants City Church to remember some of the miracles he's done. But then get a new faith. Because you're in a transition. You've come out, but God says, I'm about to bring you in. You've come out of Egypt, but I'm going to bring you into a promise. And there are promises that have been over this house for a long time. It still hasn't come to fulfillment, but your new season is coming. Your season is coming, says the Lord. Jesus. What's your